Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ahí está Navas, Navas jugando ya para Ocampos, Ocampos que va a poner el centro, la pone Ocampos en Nesiri. ¡Gol, gol, 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 gol,
gol,
gol,
gol, gol, gol,
gol, gol, gol, gol, gol, gol, gol, gol, gol, gol, gol, gol, gol, gol, gol, gol, gol, gol, gol, gol, gol, gol, de Maguire en propia puerta.
Hello and welcome to La Liga Lowdown, our latest podcast delving into Spanish football and all the action across the continent. And it's been a very busy week this week and another busy weekend coming up. I'm Sam Leverage and I'm joined today by Román de Arquer. How are you doing, Román?
I'm doing good. Enjoying, of course, seeing that Barça are doing really well in La Liga, still keeping up with that great gap they have with Real Madrid. But I guess I'd be lying if I said I was happy about Madrid's win against Chelsea.
Exactly. I mean, I guess that has to be our starting point. A fairly routine win for Real Madrid. But at the same time, I kind of came away, I don't know about you, Román, but I came away with the feeling that Real Madrid were good. They got the result they needed, but they weren't great. I mean, they didn't kill this game off quite as much as they could have. I mean, there was a lot of domination at times, and we've seen Real Madrid really destroy teams, and that didn't quite happen.
Yeah, I guess because at the same time, maybe they didn't need it. I guess sometimes Real Madrid do need that extra bit of pressure to actually bring out their best version. Maybe against Liverpool, something similar happened. Well, similar not in this case, that they scored, they conceded two goals early on. And then, of course, they came back with a thrashing comeback that gave them a win. So, of course, maybe sometimes Madrid works in mysterious ways, we could say. You know, this season overall, they have had some really good games, some good moments. Then they have had some really poor moments, right? Lots of ups and downs. So they've been pretty hard to predict. But what we can say is that in the Champions League, usually they do well. And for them, a 2-0 is definitely a good result against a Chelsea that is really struggling in the domestic competition, 11th. At the moment in the standings, recently changed manager again with Frank Lampard, which is probably a massive surprise for most of us. So we'll see how that works in the long term. But of course, at the moment, you honestly don't feel like Chelsea is a good enough rival for Real Madrid. You know, Real Madrid, for me, knowing how they kind of tend to play so well in the Champions League, they really did what they had to, score a couple of goals. As you said, maybe they should have got a few more, but I think this will probably be enough, and I don't really expect too many surprises in the away game at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah, I mean, when there was that early counter-attack with João Felix when he was racing through and coming off the back of that Villarreal defeat at the weekend, you know, that was one of kind of those moments where it could have changed the game entirely. It would have been interesting if that had gone in, how the game would have been different. But in the end, it was quite a routine. I mean, I don't think Real Madrid really ever had to get out of first gear, and they came away with a 2-0 lead, so they should be pretty confident. I think it was the first time they've beaten Chelsea at the Bernabeu. And I think they've played each other 8 times now. And this is what, the third season they've met each other in Europe at at this stage of the competition or later. So kind of a real battle between them. I think this is definitely the weakest that we've seen Chelsea out of those three battles over the two legs. And as you say, I mean, with Frank Lampard, it just Chelsea looked a little bit like a team that were a little bit all over the place, whereas Real Madrid looked like a team that had Carlo Ancelotti and has got his feet under the table. He's got the team playing how he wants. And yeah, so I mean, do you think then, Roman, it's fair to say that Real Madrid can have one eye on the semi-final already and one eye on perhaps Manchester City after they beat Bayern 3-0 in that first leg?
Yeah, I'd say pretty much. I mean, of course, they don't have to be too overconfident because you never know. I mean, the Champions League is always unpredictable, and it could be, well, it should be a tough game for them at Stamford Bridge. But in the end, I really don't see Chelsea putting in an incredible performance. I mean, they could put them in some tight situations along the 90 minutes, but overall, I think 2-0 is a comfortable result. I see Madrid getting at least one goal over there. So, I mean, if they score that third, I mean, that would be practically game over, I think.
Yeah, and then in terms of kind of the men who stood out, one of those was Marco Asensio, who scored trademark Marco Asensio goal that I feel you can copy and paste four or five times a season. It seems to score a few of those. I mean, his contract is running out this summer, but I think the closer we get to it running out, the more likely it seems that he'll stay. I mean, is this exactly why Real Madrid might be willing to find an agreement with him for this kind of goal that he can bring off the bench in a game like this, where he can just score one of those goals from distance and it really help make life a little bit easier for them, even if he isn't a starter and Rodrigo is better on the right? But Asensio is that threat off the bench.
Oh, definitely. I mean, Asensio is a player that tons of clubs would love to have at their disposal. And I think for a team like Real Madrid, it comes really in handy, you know, to try and maybe break the deadlock in certain matches or try and help in certain circumstances. I saw that in the last seven games, he scored three goals. Of course, he's only started in two of those. As you said, he's usually coming on from the bench and trying to change games, and even scored in that first Copa del Rey game against Barcelona. But of course, he got ruled out for offside. But it proves that Asensio, you know, with just a very few bunch of minutes, he can already generate a lot of danger. So, I mean, why not have a player like that on the bench if you can, and if, of course, he wants to stay? It all depends on whether he probably does one more minute. He probably wants to be a starter. Of course, it's difficult, but if he accepts this role where he'll occasionally be a starter for Ancelotti, but mostly a player that can try and change a game, then why not stay? There were rumors that maybe he'd go to Barcelona, which for me sounds very, very unlikely. I don't honestly see that happening, even less when he celebrated that goal that got ruled off by touching his badge in the Camp Nou. I mean, that kind of takes away any chances of him coming around here anytime soon. So we'll see what he decides personally, because I'm sure that Madrid want to keep him if they can. It just depends more, I think, on what he wants regarding his future as a player.
Yeah, and the other two guys who I was keeping a close eye on watching the game was Kepa and Thibaut Courtois, which I felt like was the sliding doors moment back when Zinedine Zidane said, no, I don't want to sign Kepa. And that deal with Athletic Club fell through at that time. Kepa went to Chelsea, Courtois came to Real Madrid. I mean, what would the history have been like over the last few years if maybe that had been the other way around and Kepa had come to Real Madrid, Courtois stayed at Chelsea? I mean, do you think that Real Madrid would still be the team they have been over the last few years if they'd kept Kepa? I mean, he didn't have a bad game at all, I thought, on Tuesday night, but he's not quite Courtois.
No, definitely not. I mean, of course, we're never going to know because certain circumstances, change things completely. I mean, maybe Kepa in the atmosphere of Real Madrid would have also become a phenomenal goalkeeper. Who knows? But probably unlikely. And seeing how things went with Courtois, I'm sure they're extremely happy they didn't go against Zidane's choice in this case. And I mean, Courtois has already proven to be now at the moment probably the best goalkeeper there is out there. And I mean, he's going to write his name in history and he's going to be considered one of the best goalkeepers I think there ever has been, honestly. I mean, he's doing so phenomenally well at Real Madrid. And it's not just how secure he is, but how many points I think he's given to Real Madrid, how many games he's help them, you know, make it through to the finish line with 3 points or with a win. You know, I mean, Courtois is just essential. He makes massive saves. For example, the other day also in the Copa del Rey in the 4-0 in the first half, if Courtois hadn't saved some of those opportunities, who knows what the result would have been, you know? So, I mean, good thing that they kept him because Courtois is a top-class goalkeeper.
Yeah, and I mean, Real Madrid, not the only Spanish team in action this midweek. I mean, not many left now, but Sevilla were also in action against Manchester United.
Obviously, a very dramatic game. Manchester United scoring 2 own goals in the same match for the first time since 1979. And that was effectively what allowed Sevilla to maintain their unbeaten run against Manchester United alongside Atletico Madrid. They're both the teams with the longest unbeaten runs against the Red Devils. And a 2-2 result is a good one, but a lot of Sevilla fans were surprised, shocked, disappointed by some of the changes from José Luis Mendilibar. Among those were the two central defenders, Tanguy Nianzou and Marcel, who we haven't seen much of for quite a few months, actually. And there was some surprising changes and selections in Mendilibar's team. But, I mean, I guess, did that pay off in the end, Roman?
Honestly, with Sevilla in the Europa League, you can expect anything. It's true that Manchester United have been really good in this season and this competition, and that they already eliminated two other Spanish sides with Barça and Betis. And seeing how Sevilla are really struggling in La Liga, well, obviously they're not the favorites in this tie, or they weren't the favorites in this tie before it started. But again, despite all the changes Mendilibar made, you could tell that he was kind of thinking more about La Liga, but it paid off. It did seem like United had the job done with that 2-0 at halftime. In 20 minutes, they got Sabitzer to score a couple of goals, which seemed like they could do the job. But in the end, out of nowhere, you know, the last few minutes, Sevilla pushed and they got their prize. And now they're going to come back home to the Sanchez-Pizjuan with a draw, a 2-2 result, which I think is really good. And I mean, now I wouldn't be surprised if something magical happens there, and it'll be curious to see whether Mendilibar follows this idea of prioritizing La Liga, or if seeing that it's so close, that final is so close, that he might actually go for a stronger starting lineup. So it'll be definitely a game we can't miss.
Yeah, one of the most unfortunate men of the night perhaps was David De Gea, and he was made some superb saves when Manchester United were leading. In the end, 2 own goals, 2 very unfortunate goals to concede. But, I mean, he hasn't been included in the Spain squad for quite some time now. But with performances like that, do you think Luis de la Fuente might just be tempted to bring him back into the frame?
Well, with De Gea, it always feels like there's two versions of him. The one in the Spanish national team and the other in with Manchester United, where he's been a fantastic goalkeeper. Of course, he's had his downs, his poor moments, but overall I think United could say they've had a very strong goalkeeper, and he's still quite decisive for them against Sevilla. He made some crucial saves, which, I mean, could have turned the game around completely. It's true that he did concede two goals, but to be fair, they were both deflections, so I mean, he couldn't do much, especially in that second one where Maguire completely changes the trajectory of in a serious header. And of course, De Gea couldn't do much more. But for me, he definitely should be in the talks. I don't think Spain has incredible goalkeepers. We do have good ones, decent ones, but for me, there are few that are like at the level of De Gea. So I think that if he's in good form, De La Fuente should definitely keep De Gea in mind.
Come on then, Roman, I'm going to put you on the spot. 2-2 after the first leg, with those two late goals kind of saving the day for Sevilla. Obviously a huge La Liga game against Valencia at the weekend. And then the second leg, is there a chance that Sevilla could go through? I mean, we're talking about a team in a relegation battle and potentially looking to reach a European semi-final as well. I mean, do you think there's a chance?
Well, with that 2-0 result at halftime, I honestly thought it was game over, and now how things have changed, you know. So, of course, I think they still have a great chance of making it through to the final. We'll have to see, of course, how they fare in La Liga. Next game against Valencia, it will be very important, because if they get the 3 points, I think they'll be capable of feeling more reassured that they're a step closer to staying in the Spanish top tier, and that maybe they can think about playing against Manchester United with a stronger lineup. But we'll have to see how that one pans out, because if they lose, for example, of course, the situation will change a lot, and they might not be too convinced about putting too much effort into the Europa League. But it is one more game. It is at the Sánchez Pizjuán. We've seen many magical moments for Sevilla in that stadium, so there's definitely a good chance. And as we know, Europa League is Sevilla's competition, like the Champions is Real Madrid's competition. So they definitely have a shot at it.
So you heard it here first. Real Madrid to win the Champions League, Sevilla to win the Europa League, courtesy of Román de Arquer. Stay tuned, and we will be back after a very short break to take a look at what's coming up in La Liga in Match Day 29 over this weekend.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back to part two of La Liga Lowdown, and now we're going to turn to La Liga. We're going to turn our attentions to match day 29 of the competition. Only 9 games left for those teams who are fighting for the title, perhaps not too many of them. Teams chasing European football, and then the relegation battle as well, which is very much alive. And we'll start off on Friday night with Rayo Vallecano against Osasuna, which is a tasty one. But the headline fixture is definitely on Saturday, where we have a Basque derby with a lot to play for both of these teams in the race for Europe. I mean, Real Sociedad currently in fourth, but not been in great form of late. Athletic Club sitting in seventh, and they've got plenty of pressure on from behind them as well, with Osasuna and Rayo just a few points behind. Celta Vigo in great form, catching up as well. I mean, Roman, what's your prediction for this one?
Well, it's hard to say, because, I mean, in recent matches between these two, I think the outcomes have been slightly unpredictable, I'd say. But now at the moment, I honestly don't see a game where we're going to get tons of goals. They can prove me wrong perfectly, but that's my feeling. You know, in the end, as you said, they both have quite a lot to lose at the moment. Real Sociedad are really feeling the pressure from Villarreal at the moment, right beneath them, 4 points away, fighting for that Champions League spot, whereas Athletic Club, as you said, have Osasuna and Rayo Vallecano really close by. And they're going to probably want to try and fight for that sixth spot, seeing that Betis have been dropping some important points lately, are not looking as good without, of course, Canales and Fekir. So in that sense, I don't think both any of the two teams, sorry, are going to want to give away too many opportunities. They're going to try and do what they usually do, because we know that Real Sociedad is a team that tends to have the ball, tends to like to have more control and generate from there, whereas Athletic are going to try and do a lot of damage in the counter. So honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if this game ends maybe in a draw or something like that, because as I said, both teams have a lot to fight for. I won't want to concede too much at the back. But who knows? It's a derby, Basque derby, so anything can happen. We can see maybe some surprises.
And for those people who aren't based in Spain, I haven't had the privilege of going to a Basque derby or watching one before in the past. I mean, what is the atmosphere like at these derbies? I mean, for me, watching them, I've always felt like the atmosphere is very different to kind of a Clásico or a Seville derby. I mean, this is a very kind of brotherly rivalry and derby almost.
Yeah, in the end, there's definitely a lot of respect from the two fan bases. It's not like other derbies, for example, here in Catalonia, where you have Barça and Espanyol, and both fan bases absolutely detest each other and you know, are going to...
The same in Madrid.
Yeah, exactly. Same in Madrid. They're going to chant the worst chant they can think of against rival players and fans and etc. So in this case, there's a lot more respect. But at the same time, they don't lose any of that passion or intensity. You know, it's a derby, definitely... worth going. I mean, it's two historic clubs, and it's definitely quite special, as you said, and a bit different from the other derbies we're used to.
Yeah, I won't lie, I was looking at bus routes from Madrid up to Bilbao to see if I could make it for this one, but it didn't work out in the end, but one day I'll get there.
For sure.
And then the other fixtures across the week, I mean, there are a couple of interesting ones. One that stood out to me, Roman, is Getafe against Barcelona. Perhaps doesn't sound that exciting, but Getafe are only 3 points above the relegation zone, and they are weirdly, on a good day, they can be difficult to beat. They lost 2-0 to Real Sociedad last weekend, but before that, they were unbeaten in four. And I feel like they could kind of make life difficult for Barcelona in this one.
I have to agree. I mean, Barcelona, I think they maybe lost a bit of motivation, I guess, seeing that, of course, there's no Copa del Rey, Europe is long gone, and now in La Liga they have such a big gap that I guess you don't feel that pressure you usually do when you're at the top fighting to win this competition. So maybe they're not playing at their 100%. Also, of course, Barca are still missing some crucial players for them, such as Frenkie de Jong, Pedri, Dembele and Christensen, which for me are four key players here. But still, I mean, of course, it's Getafe. Barca still have a good enough squad, but you know, it could be a tricky one, as you said. Getafe somehow have been doing well. I remember that a month or two ago, Kike Sanchez Flores was constantly on the tightrope, whether he was going to leave, whether he wasn't. Somehow he's kind of managed to pull through these tough times and manage some acceptable results, but of course they're still in that relegation battle and they still have to give it 100% to avoid any scares, because they're just 3 points away from the drop at the moment. So as you said, I think it could be a tricky one. I don't see a comfortable win here for Barcelona, but hopefully they'll give a bit of a better image than they did against Girona, because it felt like at the Camp Nou they should have done a bit more. And seeing that it's going to be an away game, it kind of feels like it's going to be tough to improve that too much. But we'll have to see if Xavi can find the key to as I said, motivate their players a bit more for what's left of La Liga season.
Yeah, and I mean, Barcelona haven't scored in 215 minutes of football coming into this game, and against the Getafe team will defend deep and in numbers. I feel like that's going to be a tricky afternoon for them. And then last but not least, just to wrap it up, is one of the other eye-catching games for me this weekend. One that not that long ago would have been one of the highlights of a European battle of two teams that were pushing Real Madrid and Barcelona to be the third biggest team in Spain. Valencia and Sevilla. And that now looks like a relegation battle. I mean, Paco won't like to hear it, but Valencia in the relegation zone, 2 points behind Real Valladolid. And of course, this is the Sunday 9 o'clock game. So Real Valladolid play on Saturday against Villarreal. I mean, they could go and get increase that distance. There are some other teams, Almeria, Getafe. I mean, they've both got difficult games, but that distance could really begin to open up between Valencia and the sides above them if they can't win this one. Sevilla, obviously, against Manchester United, made some changes to the team, perhaps with one eye on this game. I mean, is this Is this potentially a decisive fixture for Sevilla to climb away and for Valencia to stay alive in this fight?
I mean, it's definitely an important game for both sides. I mean, now we've reached the stage where you really need those 3 points when you're down at the bottom, you know, because the gap can begin to open a bit. We're seeing that some teams seem to be climbing away, as Sevilla, for example, as you said, whereas Valencia, they just look very, very bad, you know. I mean, I thought that they would be capable with the new managerial change they made with the legend, like Pipo Baraja, but doesn't seem to find the way to get this team rolling. I guess it must be, well, I guess not. It's a fact that it must be terribly difficult to make things work at a club like Valencia, seeing how things are going, you know, not just in terms of the football, but in terms of the club, the owner, etc. So for me, for this game, I definitely think that Sevilla are looking the better side. Mendilibar is the kind of manager that knows, you know, how to put up a fight when you're trying to avoid relegation. He's been down there before and he knows how to get the job done. And lately, Sevilla have been looking decent. The other day, for example, against Celta de Vigo, they were just so close to getting the 3 points despite being a man and two men down in the end of the match. But unfortunately, they couldn't. But still, there has been an improvement for me since Sampaoli went off and Mendilibar came on. And I see a bit of more of momentum for Sevilla in La Liga. So, and definitely, of course, the squad is deeper, is much better. As you said, they made a few rotations regarding Europa League. So some of the important players like Enesiri will be fresher to start. And he's been scoring lately. So for me, Sevilla have better chances, and we'll see what happens in the end, because it would be sad to lose any of these two historic clubs because they've been always one of the best clubs we've had here in Spain.
Yeah, I mean, Valencia, who then face three huge games after this one. They've got Elche away, which you feel like is a good fixture for them on paper, but if they go into that in the relegation zone with confidence low, it could be perhaps a bit tricky. Then they face Valladolid and Cádiz, who are both down there in that fight as well, so all against teams with plenty to play for, and it could be a very interesting few weeks in the relegation battle ahead of us. So, Roman, just before we sign off, is there anything else you're going to be looking out for this weekend? I mean, plenty going on. There's a few big games down in Segunda as well, with the title races hotting up there as well. I mean, I don't know about you, but I was just taking a look, and there's Granada, Las Palmas, who are in second and third, and there are only kind of, there's 1 point separating four teams between second and fifth in Segunda. So that battle is really hotting up as well. I don't know if you've been keeping an eye on Segunda at all, Roman, or if you have anything else that you're going to be looking out for this weekend.
Well, as you said, in fact, I think it was you who recently wrote an article about looking into those Segunda games instead of a first division here in Spain, because of course it's a really exciting battle with five teams up there on top of over 60 points, you know, and really fighting. So I mean, definitely those are some, the ones you mentioned are some good games to keep an eye out for. Unfortunately, I won't have the time to see so many games this weekend, but definitely.
Well, man, I'd be worried about you if you had enough time to watch all of and all of Primera and everything else that you do.
I do what I can, but yeah, definitely. Also, I want to see if Villarreal can keep up their form, because they have been looking really good lately, and I think they could be putting up a fight there to get into that Champions League spot. And also, I'll be interested to see what Betis does, because they've got two defeats in a row. They've lost Fekir and Canales for a while, and I mean, well, Fekir for the rest of the season at least. And I mean, without those two players, it's going to be tough for them. So I mean, it'll be interesting to see if they can finally make it to any European competition, because at the beginning of the season, for me, they were one of the favourites to even try and fight for the Champions League. But in the end, it's been a lot tougher than they would have liked.
Yeah, exactly. That's a big week ahead for Betis as well. We will leave it there then. Make sure you stay tuned to our Substack, where we have plenty of content coming out, one every day. We've also got a Q&A with Ben Hayward, which is going to be running over on Substack as well. So make sure you send us your messages. You can hit us up on Twitter, on Substack, in the comments, wherever it might be, wherever your preferred platform of choice is, with any questions that you might have for Ben or for anybody in the La Liga Lowdown squad as well. And we will be looking forward to responding and answering all of those questions ahead of what is going to be a very exciting few weeks and months for Spanish teams in Europe, even if there aren't too many left, and even in La Liga as well. Thanks for listening.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.